Go ahead and open up to 1 Peter. Last Sunday, I said we were going to do First Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We did verse 1. And today, honestly, I think we're going to get through verse 2. So we're slowing down, going through this. And I really wanted to do these verses because they're very much connected with the previous or the end of chapter 1 and speaking about the Word of God. And so we're going to be considering the Word of God today again, which is okay because the key to learning is repetition, right? Repetition, repetition, repetition. That's how you learn. So I think that it would be safe to say that I could stay on this subject alone for a whole year, and it would be of great benefit to all of us. So I'm not going to do that unless the Lord just really tells me to, but I don't think so. But so repetition is the key to learning. And Julie was telling me a story about a pastor who got up one Sunday and he preached, and then the next Sunday he got up and he preached the same exact sermon. And then the following Sunday he got up and he preached the same sermon again. And finally an elder went up to the pastor and said, like, what are you doing? Preaching the same sermon over and over. And the pastor said, well, as soon as you guys get it and obey what I'm telling you, then I will go on to another sermon. So I wasn't going to tell you that because I was like, oh man, Matt, you're coming down hard on him. So just want to ask this question. You know, a few weeks ago, we were talking about the Word of God and being in the Word of God and starting a Bible reading plan and making that a habit. So here we go. Let's be honest with each other. How many of you have started a Bible reading plan and now that we're 3 weeks into the year have been able to stick to it and not give up yet? Go ahead, raise your hand. All right, now we're good. See, okay. That is a lot of you. Now, you are not more righteous than everyone else. Our righteousness is in Christ, our Lord and Savior. But I'm very, very proud of you guys for raising your hand and for doing that. It's so important. It is so important. And that's why, because of this verse and the importance of being in the Word of God, we're going to consider it again. And again, there's going to be some repetition, you guys. So hang in there. And for those of you that are reading, it's okay. We can hear this again. We need to be in the Word of God. But there's a quote I read to you a few weeks ago, and it's from the book Disciplines of a Godly Man. And in that book it says, there's a great scandal in today's church, and that's Christians without Christian minds, Christians who do not think Christianly. So a scandal, it's a scandal that we have in our church, and we know that we've been given the mind of Christ. It says that in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. And we've been looking at 1 Peter, and it says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And so it's what's required of us, and we can do that. We're called to that. Last week we looked at verse 1 in 2 Peter. Let's go ahead and read it. I said 2 Peter, forgive me. 1 Peter chapter 2. I got the 1 and the 2 mixed up. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. And we read this list that, it says right here. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. All right, so just to recap, we talked about, it said putting aside, put away these things from you. But the Greek word there can and should be translated be done with, all right? Be done with these things in your life. malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander, be done with them. All right? Don't put them away for later, you know. So you can go run to them when no one's looking, and or when you know you just want a break from God and from all this, you know. I'm gonna run back to that. No, be done with it. Don't have a place to go back to with it. Don't put it away for later when no one is watching. And so, just some more verses to encourage us in that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We looked at a lot of verses last week, but there's just so many verses on this very idea of putting away sin and not giving in to sin. And so Paul repeats it again and again and again, so I will repeat it again and again too. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. So Ephesians 5:1, and I'm just going to read 12 verses here. Let the word of God speak to us. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And I'll go ahead and stop there. But again, just put these sins away. Don't make provision for them. And a major passage that speaks to this too is Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Turn there, Romans 6. Romans 6, 1. And we'll read through verse 7. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Amen. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. And so we've got to be done with sin and have that mentality, done with it. I will not give in to this anymore. Fight against it. I can remember sins in my own life that I struggled with, even into after I became a Christian, and just how much of a relief it was when finally the Lord gave me victory over those sins, and they were no longer drawing me into that temptation anymore. It took time, but what a blessing it was. And so we've just got to have that mentality. And so be done with away with sin, and rather than giving into sin, we should do, turn back to 1 Peter, we should do what it says right here in verse 2. Be done with sin. Be done with it. And rather, we should, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. And so, it says we are to long for the pure milk of the Word. And that word long for, the Greek is epipatheo, is an imperative. It's a command. Long for this. It's a command that we are to long. We are to have a strong desire for the Word of God. To have a great need for the Word of God, to desire it, to long for it. That's a command. We've got to grow in that. We need to grow that in ourselves and seek that. This absolute necessity, need for the Word of God in our lives. And a lot of you are in the Word each day, and that's awesome. You have that desire growing in you. And you know what? I can preach this message again and know that it's a good thing, because I want that desire to grow in you even more. And I want that desire to grow even more in me. So that when we look at passages like Psalm 119, turn there, Psalm 119. That we can absolutely relate to it. And know that that is true of us. Psalm 119, and we're going to look at verses 97 through 112. We already read some this morning. Psalm 119 and verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn, and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. O, accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand. Yes, I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. And so, we should long for the Word and be able to say this and say it like this. When Eliana was a baby, we prayed and we were rejoicing at having a child. You know, we waited 7 years and we're so excited to have her. And wanted to take care of her exceptionally well. And one of the gifts that we got from Julie's brother is this scale. Like this super precise scale. All right, so we can keep track of her weight as she was growing. Not only that, you could even keep track of how much milk she was getting from nursing. How many ounces she was getting. And so that was a hard time for us, because Eliana was not getting enough milk. She wasn't getting enough milk, and she was constantly crying. She wasn't getting enough, and she wasn't taking to a bottle very well either, which made it even more complicated. And we were using that scale constantly. How many ounces did she get? And again, it wasn't enough. And so we were very concerned, and Eliana was very concerned. She was crying so much. So that was a very, very hard time. And that's how we need to be if we're not getting the word enough. We need to be that way. Concerned, very concerned to go a day or two or three or a week without stopping and spending time with the Lord in the Word, seeking Him and seeking to know Him. It's the same way that we should feel. Just like a newborn baby not getting fed enough, we should be crying out for His Word. That should be in us. And eventually that can grow cold, though, can it? If we're continually neglecting the Word, continually not in the Word, that we're gonna neglect it, that crying out is gonna go away. It's gonna fizzle out, isn't it? But we can't let it do that. We cannot be content with that. We can't. We need to have the mind of Christ, and we're gonna have the mind of Christ by being in His Word and knowing it, understanding it. And so anyway, a lot of you are in a reading plan, and that's good. Julie and I, and I know Katie, have started the reading plan that I told you about. It's called Dr. Horton's Reading Plan. And in it, you read 10 chapters a day. That's a lot. It's supposed to take you 35 to 40 minutes. And I wonder if I have a learning disability, because it takes me an hour and a half sometimes. My brain wanders so much. And it's like, oh my gosh, where did I go? Come back. Or I just read a whole paragraph, and I don't even know what I just read. And I try to read it again. But it's been getting better and better and better, all right? It's like going to the brain gym, right? Some of you need to go to the brain gym, all right? It's hard to sit down for 35 or 40 minutes and read straight through. Your brain starts to hurt, okay? Good. Work out your brain, especially on the Word of God. Eventually it's going to get better, you know, just like going to the gym. You go for a month continuously, it gets better. You're not as sore anymore. It starts feeling really good. It starts feeling very good. It's the same with reading the Word of God. It's going to start feeling really good being in His Word. And you're going to be like, what have I been doing my whole life? Why haven't I been reading 10 chapters my whole life? Let's go to 20 chapters a day. If you have the time. If you're disciplined enough to make the time. So that's my next goal, 20. But right now, 10 is a workout. But I just want to encourage you guys, those reading plans are still back there. It's really been a blessing going through that plan. And if you've got your own, that's fine. Don't worry. But this plan, I'm not a salesman. I guess I kind of am trying to sell this to you. But listen to this, 10 chapters a day. And listen to what you'll read in a year, okay? Rather than going through the whole Bible in 1 year, this is what you'll read in a year if you do this Bible reading plan. Every year, you'll have read through the Gospels 4 times. You'll have read through the Gospels 4 times in 1 year. The Pentateuch, Matthew, or Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, you'll read through those twice. Paul's letters, 4 to 5 times. Old Testament wisdom, Psalms, Proverbs, you'll read through those 6 times. All the Psalms at least twice. The Proverbs, I'm sorry, it's separate. You'll read through the book of Proverbs 12 times. Through the prophetic books 1.5 times. And so it just goes on, and you're going to be major Bible intake, okay? And so if you're not there yet, get there. It's gonna bless you. And the guy that started this program, he said, I started doing this in 1983. I'm not telling you to do this for the year. I'm telling you this for the rest of your life. The rest of your life. But anyway, the guy that created this started it in 1983. And he says that, I have now read the Bible hundreds and hundreds of times. Hundreds and hundreds of times. He says, you also need to get one Bible. keep it and do all your reading in it, so you learn where everything is. He knows where the verse is. He knows where it's at on the page, because he's read it so many times. He knows right where to go, what page to go to. If you keep switching Bibles, you'll lose that intimacy with the text. Find a translation format you like and stick with it. All right, so find one Bible. His is a mess. It's tattered. He's had to rebind it a few times. But anyway, he gives all kinds of counsel on how to do this, how to get through it and keep going. Don't quit. And it's really been a blessing to me. So I told you I was going to give you some testimonies. I'm giving you mine, but in the future I want someone else to come up and share just how their Bible reading is going and how it's blessing them. But it's really been an awesome study. And I think I've got it down to an hour now. It was an hour and a half. So we need to have a strong desire for the Word of God. And maybe you can't do 10 chapters a day, an hour and a half a day. There's other plans back there, you guys. But we've got to be in the Word. Got to be in the Word. And it's not to make you more righteous. Like I said, just all those people that raise their hands, you're not more righteous. Christ is our righteousness. But your mind is becoming more like Christ than others. Okay? It is. You're becoming more Christ-minded. And so, you know, we look at passages like Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Who are you spending the most time with? How are you spending your time? If you're spending it with mockers, you're gonna take on their mocking. If you're walking with scoffers, you're gonna take on their scoffing. And we've got to do that though in the workplace, don't we? We're surrounded by it. We've got to be there. But if we take the Word of God with us, if we have it in our minds and in our hearts, and it's shaped our thoughts, then we go with the Word of God. And we must do that. I mentioned it before, but I heard a study on this when I was looking at a Hebrew website. So it was breaking down the Hebrew and talking about Psalm 1 and poetry in the Psalms and how it works and a triad of poetry. And I'm not going to get into all that. It's interesting, but just breaking down each of the words in that Psalm. How blessed is the man. How happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. How happy is he? His well-being. He has well-being. All right? Well-being in his soul. Deep down, he has well-being. How fortunate is that person? How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And in the counsel of the wicked, he does not take the advice of the wicked. All right? He doesn't take their advice. He knows. He recognizes that's bad advice. I'm not going to do that. Nor stand in the way of sinners. Okay, standing in the way of, in the Hebrew, it's saying like a lifestyle. I will not have a lifestyle like sinners. I'm not going to have a lifestyle like them. I'm going to be different. He does not develop the lifestyle of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of scoffers. And this has to do with attitude. He does not develop the attitude of scoffers. Does not develop a rebellious attitude. Question is, where are we spending our time? If you're spending it in front of the TV, guess what you're watching? You're listening to scoffers, sinners. And if you're spending so much time in front of the TV and not in front of the Word, you're going to be developing this rebellious attitude, this lifestyle of sinners. So we've got to spend time in the Word and combat too much time in those things. Is this what the Word of God says to us? And so it's interesting just to see that in that perspective. And then looking at verse 2 again, we are to grow up into salvation. Grow up into salvation. And it's true, we all start as spiritual newborns, right? We all do. We all start as spiritual babies. But we're to grow into salvation. We are to grow in spiritual maturity. We had a men's Bible study called The Art of Manhood. And in that study, one of the weeks, it showed this parody of this man, and he's on the battlefield, and there's explosions going on around him, and machine guns going off, and he looks like Rambo, and he's running, and he runs to save this man that's injured and frightened. He picks the man up and puts him on his shoulder and runs him off the battlefield. And then all of a sudden, it goes from the battlefield to this man sitting in front of a video game, intensely focused on the TV, pounding his hand controller while his mom brings him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And he complains to his mom about something, like doing his laundry or something. And the whole point of that is to say, that's disgusting. You know, that's very unattractive. That should be disturbing. You know, a 40-year-old man, you know, still getting taken care of like a little child by his parents and not stepping into manhood and being a man. But what should be even more disturbing is seeing, knowing a Christian that is not developing at all spiritual maturity. They have remained a spiritual baby, and they're not growing at all. That should be more disturbing to us than the man eating peanut butter and jelly playing video games while his mom does his laundry at 40 years old. And, you know, we were just talking about the zeal of the Lord in our Sunday school class, and, you know, we need to have a zeal for each other, not only for our own spiritual growth, but for each other's spiritual growth. And we need to be careful about how we go about doing that. You know, we're not supposed to be reaming each other all the time, but we should have a zeal to see each other grow spiritually mature. And to be concerned for each other when we see continual stumbling and habitual sin and regression. We should have great concern for each other. So grow up into salvation, grow into spiritual maturity. And again, we do that most of all by feeding on the Word of God and becoming men and women of the Word. But you can read this Word and raise your hand every time I ask you to say if you've been doing your Bible reading plan, which I don't plan on doing that much anymore, for this year anyway. But but you could still have it wrong. You could still be a Pharisee and read your Bible and go around and hit people with it. You know, that's not what I'm saying. It'll help you have Christ's mind, but there is more to it than that. There's more to it than that. And what it takes is faith. All right? Faith. We've got to have faith in what we're reading. Faith needs to be growing in us as we're going through the Word. We need to have faith to stand on the promises, like we sang. The Lord promised this, and so I'm gonna trust. I'm gonna trust him, and I'm gonna take action, and I'm gonna step out in faith to do what the Word is telling me. We gotta be growing in faith. I was talking to Pastor Bob about this, and wanting to grow spiritual maturity. We're studying the attributes of God, and by studying the attributes of God, we want to be more like Him. But if we're focused on ourselves and selfish, we can spin our wheels and try as hard as we want to change ourselves, but it's not going to happen. It's just going to get more and more frustrating. If you're just sitting there looking at God and who He is and saying, "Oh, I want to be like Him, so I'm gonna do as hard as I can to change myself," and if you go about it that way, you're just gonna get frustrated. Because what you need to be doing is looking at the promises and looking at the Word of God and growing in faith in this, growing faith in the Word, and then that spiritual maturity is gonna happen. So be focusing on your faith, your most valuable possession. You need to be growing your faith. Not a selfish persistence in remaking yourself, but just an awe and wonder of who He is and growing in faith for what He will accomplish. 2 Peter, if you're still in 1 Peter, turn over a couple pages. 2 Peter... Chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 4. Tell us this. Seeing that His divine power, we know this if we were helpers at VBS, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. And so right there, He's saying that He's given us all that we need for life and godliness, and we have it right here. We have it right here in His Word. We have all that we need. And then even in the verses that follow, it talks about the progression of maturity and growth that we should see in each other and in ourselves. Verse 5, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith," all right, "faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge." And so these are steps of a ladder that are steps of a ladder to maturity. We start out with our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then we work on cleansing our lives from the sins that we were given over to. And then after moral excellence, knowledge of the Word, just hungering for the Word and being in the Word, knowledge of Him, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance in obedience and in following the Lord, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love, genuine love, being the ultimate spiritual maturity that we should have for the Lord and for each other. And so, but the Lord has given us all that we need for that right here in His Word. So we need to hunger and thirst for that. It says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith we cannot please God. So we must have faith. We must have faith so that we can please Him. And, you know, I hear the parable of the boy that brings the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Pastor Bob, you talked about that last night. I've heard you talk about that before. That should be us continually. Lord, I don't have much, but I know that You can take what I have and You can use it. And You can use it to bless. And You can use it to feed 5,000, 10,000. And so I'm gonna trust You right now. And I'm gonna just, I'm just going to use what I've got.
Amen.
Sometimes I don't know what to say. I know something needs to be said to minister, but I don't know what to say. And I got to trust, Lord, I don't know what to say right now, but I'm going to start talking, and I'm going to trust that you're going to help me minister to this person because that's my desire. I love this person. I want to help them. And I'm just going to start talking, Lord. I'm kind of scared right now because I don't know what's going to come out, but you're going to help me, Lord. By your Spirit, you're going to help me right now. So I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to start talking right now. We see all kinds of examples of people having faith in the Lord. The widow who gave the two mites as an offering, that was all that she had. But she trusted the Lord and she wanted to bless the Lord and to give an offering. So she gave all that she had and put it in. In Hebrews 11, we see examples of faith, that the hall of faith. Noah building an ark. In the middle of, there's no water anywhere. He's building a boat. It's over a football field and a half long in the middle of landmass. For over decades, building this boat, people ridiculing him, but he had that much faith to continue doing that. Abraham sacrificing his son. Or he was going to, trusting that the Lord would bring him back. And you know, we need to have that kind of faith. We need to be growing in that kind of faith where we see danger and we know that there is danger that can come from us being obedient to the Lord and doing this, but we do it anyway. Forget the danger. I know the Lord wants me to do this. I know that the Lord has called me to do this. Forget the danger. Forget the comfort. Forget the ease. I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to be obedient and face this danger. We see Paul do that time and time again in the book of Acts. It's been a blessing reading through Acts. But Paul, as he was on his journey back to Jerusalem, I believe it was his third missionary journey. He was headed back to Jerusalem and everyone's telling him, no, Paul, don't go. And even Paul knows the Spirit has said, look, I'm probably going to die when I go back to Jerusalem. They're probably going to kill me. And God's people, the Christians, are telling him again and again, don't go. They're pleading with him, crying, Paul, don't go back to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you. Don't go back. And again and again and again. But Paul's like, I don't care. I don't care if I die. I'm going. I know the Lord is calling me to go back there. And if I die for the Lord, excellent. Be a sacrifice for Him. But I'm going to go. I was listening to a pastor, professor, his name is an African name, Mimbabwe. And he was talking at the Cross Conference. It's a missions conference that was in Louisville, Kentucky. It happened a couple weeks ago. Thousands of teenagers come together to be encouraged by the Word of God, to consider missions and to go out into the world. But anyway, he was saying to that large group of teenagers, talking about the book of Acts, about how the book of Acts is about the Spirit of God moving. We're watching the Spirit of God establish the early church. And he told stories about in Africa where he grew up of missionaries that came and died. Missionaries that came that were beat to nearly to death. But they came. They knew. They knew they were going to face death. They knew they were going to be beaten. But they still spoke the gospel, spoke the truth, and they still went. And he was just emphasizing to those teenagers that, look, we got to get rid of this mentality that we got to be comfort and ease. Got to get rid of that. That is not what we're called to. We're called to see danger and run right at it if the Lord calls us to that. And to face it. To deny our fear and to go. And so we need to grow in our faith so that more and more of us will make that decision to face danger. to face rejection and to speak the truth. And it says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we need to be in the word more and more and more. That hunger should be growing in us to be in the word. So we have our second daughter now on Aaliyah, and it's different this time. We're not using that scale anymore. You know, checking her weight every day. We're seeing how many ounces she's getting of milk. It's been easier this time. She's been getting a lot more milk. She's coming up on a year old, actually, so that'll be done soon. And I'm sad, because there's nothing like it. Just the way that when she's done, she's just like cooing. She never does it any other time than that time. She's fed. She's satisfied. And she's giggling. And she's content and happy, and it almost seems like she's drunk, you know, as a little baby. But she's so happy. And I'm just sad to think that, you know, that phase will be over soon. But turn with me to Psalm 131. And I want you to have this, I want you to leave with this in mind. Psalm 131.
I love
chapter in Psalms. Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. For the rest of my life, I'm going to have this picture in my mind of little Analia cooing, happy, just biggest smile on her face, totally filled and content. And that has made this verse even richer to me. But that should be us in the Word of God. We should be coming from the Word of God just well, having well-being and happiness. We should come from the Word of God smiling, cooing. And for those that have made it a discipline to get back into the Word, you know what I'm talking about, especially if you do this in the morning. You go about the day with a different mentality. You go about the day with this mentality. Last verse, Isaiah 49. This is the one I want you guys to really be left with. This is a message that's interwoven throughout the entire scriptures. This is the message that we should hear loud and clear. Even if you're reading 10 different chapters through the Bible, this is the message we should be hearing. In many places. There's definitely places where you're not hearing this message. But Isaiah 41 and verses 9 through 14. You, Israel, you Christian, Isaiah 41 verse 9. Yum, who I have taken from the ends of the earth. We just heard this morning in our study, Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed the Lord and ate of the fruit, they should have been kicked down into the very corner of hell. Just like those fallen angels that decided to rise up and to put themselves higher than God. They didn't have a second chance. That was it. They were done. Their sentence is set. They will be there for eternity. For a time now, they're in limbo. They're waiting. The same thing should have been pronounced against Adam and Eve, but it wasn't. It wasn't. Instead, the Lord gave the plan of salvation and said, I'm going to send someone from your seed that will come and rescue you and save you. Rather than going down to the corner of hell, no, you will receive salvation from the one that I am sending. You who I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remotest parts and said to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are angered at you will be shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you, but you will not find them. Those who war with you will be as nothing and non-existent. For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not fear, you worm, Jacob. That's what we are. But he makes us into princes. You men of Israel, I will help you, declares the Lord, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. And so again, we see the plan of salvation. That God the Father, who looked at the very beginning of creation, who looked at the Son and spoke to the Holy Spirit and said in Genesis 1:26, let us create them in our image. In our image we will create them. Who's talking there? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We will make them in our image. Who else would he be talking to? Knowing at that time that one day he would send his Son to die on the cross. Send his Son to be a perfect sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sins. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. And so as we are in the Word reading this and understanding it more and more and more, our faith is going to increase. We're going to be like that child who's just weaned and being held by its mother. We're going to grow in maturity. And we must be about doing that. And so, with that said, Daniel, if you could come up. And I want to encourage you that are in your Word and being disciplined in it. That's awesome. For those of you that are not, I want I want you to experience what it talks about there in Psalm 131. And it's going to take discipline. It's going to take time. You got to stick with it. But what I'm talking about is not this year, let's be in the Word. It's this life, the rest of your life. This is a habit that we've got to have. And it should be increasing in us. So I pray that'll be true for each of us. And I pray too that it'll make us, cause us to more and more rejoice in our salvation and in our Savior and in our Lord. And He touched us, He saved us, He pulled us from the remotest parts of the world so that we'll be able to be with Him in heaven forever. Because He died for us on the cross. And so we have a great reason to rejoice, and we have a huge reason to be in the Word and learning. So, Pastor Bob, if you could please come and close us in prayer. And love you guys, and have a good week.
Join me as we pray this morning. Thank you for being here. Father, we thank you this morning for the encouragement that has come to our hearts through your messenger, our pastor. We thank you, Father, for your word, which is that which we so desperately, desperately need. Pray that you would create in us a greater and greater desire to not only read your word, but to study it, to know it, to embrace it, to memorize it, to meditate upon it, that we would be serious about this matter at all times, knowing that without your word we cannot grow, develop, and mature into Christ-likeness. We pray that you would work into our hearts a great diligence regarding this matter. And may we continually encourage one another regarding this matter. We're so grateful that we began our service today singing about your promises and about building our life upon those promises and putting down the strong roots into the very promises of God. For out of these, Father, we are able to become partakers of a divine life, a great life that you promise to those who will heed, abide in, trust in, and rely upon your word. Now, unto you, most high and holy God, the one who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the very glory of your presence with exceeding joy, to you, Heavenly Father, the only wise God, the glory, majesty, and power, and dominion, both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.